breaking down the best four songs. This is Mount Rockmore.
Your voice is like a combination of Fergie and Jesus.
Welcome, idiots. You ready to carve Idiot Club members into the vast idiot nation? Welcome to Adventure Up the Mountainside of Mount Rockmore for Green Day. I'm your host for this climb, but I'm not alone in the climb today. Today, Mount Rockmore climbs up the Bauer family tree. And as a favor to you, I've already explained to my co-host what Mount Rushmore is. You guys know that, right? The four presidents carved into the mountainside. You know that, right, Lucky? This is my 8-year-old Lucky Bauer, who is a podcast host of years past.
Oh, and then my friend Mila knows all the presidents that
are on Mount Rushmore?
Yeah.
Do you know any of them? Can you name one president on Mount Rushmore?
I can't.
I'm with you. I think Kennedy's on there. No, he's not on there. Anyways, the point is, there's a lot of presidents on there. There's four of them. And they think of those as the greatest presidents in this country. Am I right, Charlie? I mean, theoretically, that's why they got carved into a mountain.
One of them may be Washington?
Yes.
Impressive.
Good job. And so they carved the four on there, my 18-year-old daughter, Charlie. They carved the four on Mount Rushmore. And it's supposed to be the four, at least four of the most impressive presidents the United States has had to offer, yes?
Sure.
I mean,
you could say.
I mean, they didn't get around to Barack Obama yet, but.
Not yet.
But look, this is the Mount Rushmore of one band that we all as a family love. That I feel, if I've done the right thing as a father here, it's introduce my girls to Green Day. And today, the three of us are going to pick those four influential songs. And you only get to pick four, girls. It's not like we can go, oh, there's 40 of them. We know there's 40 good Green Day songs that we could put up there.
Wait, I didn't know there was 40.
At least 40, Lucky. At least 40.
Lucky, they have so many albums.
But we have to choose only four. We can't go above four. Now, what I like to do is I like to do a play-in because I'm saying as many good songs as Green Day has, as many hits as they've had, as many important songs to Green Day fans that are out there, I'll give them a play-in. I'll give them a song that'll be like, oh, wait, this is a gimme. It should certainly be in there. Maybe almost make the cut, but didn't quite make the cut. That's what we're going to be looking for here today. Are you ready for that? We'll start the process off with a play-in. But I will say this. Charlie and I went about 2 weeks ago now to go see Green Day live in Atlanta, Georgia. It's Charlie's first time. I've seen Green Day a dozen times. It's Charlie's first time to go see Green Day. How was the concert in your mind? I'm wearing the Green Day concert shirt today. I got the guy at the grocery store, the guy checking me out said, dude, that's a cool shirt. And I was like, yeah, it is. Yeah, so I took my daughter to go see Green Day. Were they good? I said, oh, no, they were fantastic. So what is your review of the Green Day concert?
Oh, it was glorious.
Beautiful. Glorious?
It was an angelic moment.
Wow.
Yeah.
And angelic?
Did you feel
like the angels were there in Billy Joe's pants just singing to the crowd?
Oh, absolutely. I feel like everyone just completely disappeared around me. And
yeah.
My eyes were just focused on Billy Joe and his beauty.
Oh, and it was it loud enough for you? Were your ears still ringing now?
I think it could have been a little bit louder.
You think it could have been louder?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know what?
What,
I want to wear my shirt tomorrow.
You're going to wear your Green Day shirt? Did your teacher say you could wear it? Because
I asked her and then she didn't reply.
So we have the Green Day shirt is kind of like this bluish-greenish Green Day, and it's got the white skull and crossbones on it, like a pirate kind of shirt.
Yeah, that would be perfect for riding because we're learning about pirates, so she would definitely be.
So it would fit into that. All you're missing is an eye patch over here to make it look like a pirate. And so your teacher wasn't sure because you were fearful that it might be a little scary for other kids, right?
I told her like a few weeks ago, and she still hasn't.
If she forces you to change your shirt, I'll be right there to help you out.
Yeah,
okay?
Absolutely.
If you're gonna get suspended for wearing, I'll come. We'll hang out with you. Charlie and I will come and we'll sing Green Day songs with you. Okay.
And we'll wear our shirts too. I wore mine today, and I got plenty of compliments from the other emo kids.
See, there you go. All right. First of all, for both of you, your earliest Green Day memory, like your earliest song, the first song you remember hearing, or what your Green Day memory is when you think about Green Day. Your first real experience. Like, I have video footage of Lucky dancing to a Green Day song.
What?
Yeah, that we have. I tweeted it out and tried to get the band to reply when you were dancing to the song because you loved the song so much that I've still got the video footage of it. That's what I think of when I think of Lucky's Green Day experience. But I'm wondering for you, Charlie, what's yours?
And that's what I was thinking for Lucky's too. But I can't, as far as I remember, the farthest thing I can remember is I think in Darien, we were sitting down at the counter and you were showing me like one of like this old like gaming console or something.
Mm-hmm.
And there,
the PSP.
Yeah. And there was like a live Green Day concert on there that was recorded that you showed me. And I think like before I knew Green Day, I knew a couple songs, but that kind of got me hooked onto it.
Yeah, because it was the called Bullet in the Bible, which was them on the American Idiot tour. And this at the time still it was towards the tail end of the PSP, the PlayStation PSP, where they had the mini disc players that you could pop in a disc and you could play the games off of that, but it also would play movies. So like you could actually get, like I had the Transporter movie that I would pop in and watch it on that screen, but then I also got the Green Day Bullet in the Bible one and would pop that in and watch the video of them in concert doing front to back the entire American Idiot album, which is pretty cool. So you remember seeing that?
Yeah, I remember that. And I remember thinking how much it reminded me of Guitar Hero and thinking, whoa,
yes,
that is so cool. I would love to just be there and to do that. And so now we finally got to.
And that's another thing. I feel like I was a solid parent for Charlie, because by the time Lucky was old enough, the Guitar Hero was kind of out. It wasn't around really anymore. But you got a chance to play Guitar Hero on Wii with regularity.
Yeah, and none of my friends honestly really knew about Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
So I was the only one that was playing it for like an hour when we went to the arcade.
Yeah, and we didn't have, there was, no, to be fair, no Green Day songs on that at all, but that would have been a plus. And Luck, I wish I could get you to play some Guitar Hero. That'd be so awesome. But we're here today to pick out four. One, two, three, four. Great. This is not going to be easy, right? If you think about this, how do you just simply choose four Green Day songs? It's going to be tough to do. So while we stew on that and think about that for a little bit, for those of you listening at home, if you've completely finished the chocolate that the Easter Bunny brought for you last week and you're too tired or lazy to find the search option on your podcast app, do yourself a favor and your insulin level, and just make sure you ask your Alexa to deliver to you some of our other Mount Rockmore adventures. This season, we've already brought you a Foo Fighters, Mount Rockmore, Linkin Park, Foreigner, with an all about the halfway point of the season. We got more shows that are going to be coming into fruition here. I know Charlie's already requested she wants a Weezer one. I told her that's going to have to be next season. We're already loaded up with the remaining part of the season here to come. But first of all, not many bands or artists are fortunate enough to make it into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with their first nomination. In fact, among the list of 2015's inductees, there's only one. Green Day. In the 33 years it's passed since the release of their first debut, 1,000 Hours, Billy Joe Armstrong, Trey Cool, and Mike Dirnt have clawed their way from the underground obscurity where they were driving around in a bookmobile, which was kind of like an ice cream truck, but it was filled with books. So Lucky, instead of going to the library, people who couldn't make it to the library came to them. And so they would bring books to neighborhoods and people could read books then. Well, the guys in Green Day, that was their first tour bus. Was one of those kinds of bookmobiles. They loaded all their equipment into it. They would take that around through the Bay Area, the San Francisco Bay Area, and tour and play clubs and outdoor events and that kind of thing. Coming up in a little bit, you're going to hear Billy Joe's very first song well before Green Day. Way before Green Day. Like when he was 5 years old. That's going to be coming up here on this podcast still to come. But we're daunted with the task of choosing the four great songs that helped them get there. Now, I'm fully aware that I'm not able to satisfy every Green Day fan out there because we're simply limiting ourselves to four songs. But almost 30 years since Green Day transitioned from a band in a bookmobile to taking the world by storm, there's no debate. You get a play-in if you're Green Day. So what I chose to do here was a song named after the small Washington town where they premiered this song on stage. Longview was a cheeky benchmark for a band about to take over the world, and they are our play. And I know it's one of Charlie's favorites. She was seriously thinking about making this her favorite. We're using it as a play in here today. So just to get you in before we get to the four songs, it's that incredible bass line. You heard it live in concert. Was there a louder applause from the crowd than when Longview kicked in?
Oh, absolutely not. Everyone went crazy. Like, at that moment, it's like something snapped in the crowd and was like, oh my gosh, it's Longview.
And you, right now, even as I'm saying it, not hearing it, you can hear the bass line in your head.
Oh yeah, it's on loop.
And Mike Dirnt just sitting there playing it over and over again and just doing the rock star pose with the bass guitar. Fantastic stuff. Here it is. Your play-in for the Green Day Mount Rockmore is Longview. Well, there is a school of thought, Charlie, that the Longview song remains Green Day's most important song. Having signed to a major label, Reprise, which they were with at the time, they were seen as sellouts once by loyal Bay Area following. But the rhythm section oriented the emphasis of the sound. Mike Dirnt came up with that drum, that bass line, while incredibly high on acid. He was on an acid trip and was just sitting down with his bass and came up with it. He had recorded it so he wouldn't forget what it was, and then had to go back and relearn how to play it again after he came off of the trip. But that was something that has kicked them off and launched them from obscurity into the world that they're in now. Now, there have been lots of ups and downs for Green Day. There were times where people thought they were done, Luck, that was going to be it for them. There was going to be no more Green Day. Things were going to be over for them. It's time now to start our carving. We've got 4 songs. We've got the Spaces on the Mountain. We're ready to begin the process here, right? So, as we kind of look at Green Day entering the punk pantheon as an all-time classic band, now we've got to pick at least one song here. Stopping to remind ourselves just how much it means to fans today. Nominated for Best Rock Performance by a Duo or Group with Vocal in the 1995 Grammy Awards. It accompanied that unforgettable video. I think you've seen it, Luck. I know Charlie has. Because the video itself was filmed They were playing patients at Agnew's Mental Institution, which is a literal hospital where I grew up, like in Santa Clara County. I was born in Santa Clara. Santa Clara County, Agnew's Hospital was a big mental hospital there. It's where they filmed it. You strip all this away, the mental institution, the kind of crazy feeling that they had as the cameras were right in their face with this fisheye lens and the incredible drumming from Trey Cool. And it's a masterpiece when it comes to pop punk and will forever live at the front of our minds. Now, the first song on Mount Rockmore of Green Day, perhaps the most forehead slapping if you were like, oh, definitively this one's got to be. I heard I had my ring on that one.
I heard it.
Ah, that was painful, Luck. Why'd you let me do that? The very first song we're carving into the mountainside is Basket Case from Green Day here on the Mount Rockmore of Green Day.
Do you have the time to listen to me whine about nothing and everything all at once? I am one of those melodramatic fools, neurotic to the bone, no doubt about it. Sometimes I give myself the creeps. Sometimes my mind plays tricks on me. It all keeps adding up. I think I'm cracking up. Am I just paranoid? Am I just dumb? I went to a shrink to analyze my dreams. She says it's like I'm sex that's bringing me down. I went to a whore. He said my life's a bore. Sometimes I give myself the creeps. Sometimes my mind plays tricks on me. It all keeps adding up. I think I'm cracking up. Am I just paranoid?
The thing about that song, Billy Joe Armstrong started to have panic attacks around the time the band recorded Dookie. He poured that anxiety into the lyrics of Basket Case and has scored one of the biggest hits of his career. When MTV was around, do you guys know what MTV was? Lucky, do you know what MTV was?
Yes, but they have something like that on Go Noodle for you to do.
Okay, now, but MTV used to be just a TV station on cable TV that was just music videos all day long. It was just all the bands that you could hear from Beyonce and whoever. Who's your favorite band right now that's not Green Day? Who do you like to listen to? Lady Gaga, for instance. Like, it'd be videos from every one of them, just video after video after video looping through. In 1995, when that video came out from Green Day, it aired roughly 19 times an hour in late 1994.
19.
Which is incredible. It's just a short song. It's just a 2-minute song. On the way, the all-purpose goodbye song, which is my favorite song from Green Day, will get us into the next round of songs to be carved on the face of the Mount Rockmore of Green Day next here at Mount Rockmore.
And Finally, some good news on the ongoing drug trafficking crisis along the Mexican border. Today, in testimony before the House Committee on the Judiciary, the DEA revealed it has achieved remarkable success with its latest initiative, sending rapper Lil Wayne to Mexico to use up all the drugs. Immediately upon deployment, Lil Wayne locates all the narcotics in the area and depletes the supply within hours.
Operation Wheezy F Baby has been an unparalleled success. Lil Wayne has already gotten 40 tons of marijuana, 27,000 kilos of cocaine, and 2,000 kilos of heroin off the streets and into his body.
Mexican officials say they expect Lil Wayne to completely wipe out the nation's drug problem by the end of next month.
He is the weapon drug enforcement agencies have been searching for, a living vacuum cleaner of drugs. I personally watched him snort a pile of cocaine as tall as a man.
This operation is expected to cost over $2 billion for pipes, lighters, rolling papers, and replacement diamonds for Lil Wayne's teeth. DEA officials said video field reports from Lil Wayne show he is continuing to take in huge amounts of drugs on an hourly basis.
And then take off my motherfucking pinky ring and my Bentley, my Breitling, like Brat Bow, I say, sparkling up the Breitling.
Lil Wayne's drug-stopping capabilities are, in his own words, rare, like Mr. Clean with hair.
Mexican officials have already commissioned a mural in Mexico City as a gesture of thanks to Lil Wayne and all he has done for the nation. This is the most widespread government use of a celebrity since the 2004 Republican National Convention, when Christina Aguilera was shot into crowds of protesters to disperse them. Coming up next, the White House has announced the president is in the mood for a parade.
Breaking down the best four songs. This is Mount Rockwell.
Oh, check out the ripples on that gentleman. Oh, it's like somebody threw a boulder in a pond. Fat dudes rule. They never expect commitment, and they try so hard in the set. Plus, they're just so grateful afterwards. Mm.
Welcome back to the Mount Rockmore podcast. If what we are doing here makes you feel this good, then please check out our website, realguyradio.com, and follow us on Twitter. Give us a rating. Give us a review. 1 to 5 stars on iTunes. I'm Bauer, here with my daughters, 15-year-old Charlie Joy, and over there, 8-year-old Lucky Rose, Lucky Lou, we call her, trying to show off how great a dad I can be with teaching them the only right and rarely ever wrong element that come from being a fan of Green Day, the band featured on this very Mount Rockmore. Now, fans who peg Green Day as nothing but a crazy punk band, which I think Lucky thinks of them mostly as that, right? You think of these guys as like hard level punk rockers. Is that when you think of Green Day? Is that what you hear? Or do you think they've got like a, they can play anything. They can play all kinds of music. How dare you? I thought I taught you right that they were punk rockers at heart.
They are.
That's what they do the best, right? And Charlie can attest to that because she's seen them live in concert, so she knows what they do.
Oh yeah, totally.
You know what you didn't get to see, and this I was bummed out about, was that for a long time, as Green Day was ending their shows, they would end the concert, they would play the whole show, and at the end of the show, come out for like a brief, quick, okay, we're gonna do this last one for you. And it was usually just Billy Joe playing. But one time, your mom and I went and saw them in San Francisco, and this was one of the things they used to do, was they'd kick over the drum set. They'd demolish the stage. Like, they would demolish their drum set. They would smash guitars on stage. They'd do the total punk rock thing, right? And then Billy Joe took a can of lighter fluid, poured it all over the drum set, and lit the drum set on fire, and then went out, got his acoustic guitar, came back, and played the song that we're going to be playing here, my favorite song, to put on the Mount Rockmore. So it was a complete punk rock thing to do. You didn't get a chance to see that. It was an outdoor event. I'm sure there was probably regulations against it. But they did it inside a building. Inside a theater on a stage where there were smoke alarms and probably fire codes. And it really didn't seem to matter because they were just being punk rock.
Oh, yeah.
But this song in the late 1997, kind of the opposite of things like Longview in every way. It brought them a whole new audience. In fact, the song became such an all-purpose goodbye song over the next year or so. They played it at graduation parties. They played it on the final episode of Seinfeld that aired on television. Some old-school fans saw it as a complete sellout move, which is something you'll hear time and again when it comes to Green Day. Is this the time they sold out? Didn't they sell out here? They were selling out, sellout, sellout kind of thing, meaning they didn't play the music in their heart, Lucky. They were trying to sell records, right? That was the key. They're trying to sell records and T-shirts and stuff. But the vast majority of it was admirable. The Green Day were testing their boundaries. The song showed the band that experiments pay off, and in some ways it paved the way for American Idiot down the road. Carving number two. We're halfway there. This is going to be the halfway point, Lucky. Carving number two into the Mount Rockmore of Green Day. Time of Your Life on the Green Day Mount Rockmore.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road. Time grabs you by the wrist, directs you where to go. So make the best of this test and don't ask why. It's not a question but a lesson learned in time. It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life. So take the photographs and still frames in your mind, hanging on a shelf in good health and good time. Tattoos and memories and dead skin on trial. For what it's worth, it was worth all the while. It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life. But in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life. It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life.
All right, Charlie's already shaking her head at me. She doesn't think that song should be... You think that song should be on the four? That's a song that was hugely impactful for Green Day.
I don't even think that it should really... Okay, it might be impactful. I don't think it should make even the honorable mention.
Again, this is the problem we have when we're only picking four songs, right? Because then you're like... There were people who don't know the name Green Day that know Time of Your Life.
Yeah.
I mean, even though when you guys were growing up, we listened to some of those... Like those top 40 stations, they wouldn't even necessarily tell you who it was. I'd be like, oh, girls, this is Green Day. I'd have to tell you because they wouldn't tell you who
That's
it was.
That's true. I had no idea that Time of Your Life was actually a Green Day song.
Right.
Until like maybe 2 years ago,
right.
Actually.
Right.
I think it was one of those more controversial songs where like, you know, some of the fans, because it's definitely slower. And it was like,
right?
I remember watching a documentary that it was like, it's definitely one of the like more random kind of out there songs. People weren't expecting it.
Right.
And so I definitely think it's one of those more controversial ones.
Right. Certainly one of the ones where lucky people say, oh, they're sold out. They're not playing to their hearts anymore. They're not playing for the fans. They just sold out. But it was such a good, if it was a sellout, it was a damn good
just
sellout.
Just because it's not punk doesn't mean that it's not decent.
Now, transcending their safety pin roots altogether with a ballad as irresistible as it is iconic, this might be the song that grants a true musical immortality. Now, get this. Billy Joe, maybe you've seen this before. And I think it's technically it's on this. If you look at the tooth, this is supposed to be Billy Joe's face right here. See how his teeth are a little off? You've got one tooth that's chipped there in the front.
Oh.
According to reports, the knockout goes that Billy Joe's cracked tooth in the music video was earned in a scuffle involving Trey, a security guard, and a hotel TV the night before filming the Good Riddance video. That only makes this more remarkable and stirring melody and universally affecting message. Originally penned in 1993, that's when they first wrote this song, 1993, so well before they hit majorly. I mean, this thing had been sitting on the shelf for some period of time and emerged not from a place of sentimentality. Like, it wasn't like, oh, I hope you had the time of your life. Not that. It was loaded with the resentment of Billy Joe's ex-girlfriend, Amanda, having upped sticks and moved to Ecuador. She moved away to Ecuador and left him, and that's where he wrote the song. right? Pretty amazing.
Ecuador.
Ecuador. All right, kids, we are literally halfway through our Mount Rockmore. There's only two spaces left to carve.
Oh.
And I'm looking at you two because it's you two that get to make the final two decisions here.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? It's a little stressed, right, Lucky? Feeling a little stressed out here? But first, it's time for a Green Day Today You Learn. This is a little trivia, if you will, when it comes to Green Day fans.
Today you learn.
All right, today you learned bassist Mark Hoppus of Blink 182 stated that the opening guitar riff for the Blink 182 song What's My Age Again, Charlie, you're a bleak Blink 182 fan.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What's My Age Again was created by Mark Hoppus trying and failing to play the opening bass riff from the Green Day song Jar on his guitar. Now, this was a very popular song. It was off of a movie soundtrack, and I'll play both of them. So this is where, if you guys want to put the headphones next to yours, this is where the song Green Day's Jar comes into play. You hear the opening bass kind of lines go. All right, so that's the opening riff from Green Day. Here's the Blink 182 one. Sounds kind of familiar, right?
Oh, very much so. There's no question about that.
All right. Today, you learned in 2002, Green Day recorded an album called Cigarettes and Valentines, a follow-up to Warning. But upon nearing completion, the album was mysteriously stolen from the studio. And rather than re-recording the entire 20 songs that the band recorded, you know what they did instead, Lucky?
What?
They created American Idiot, a whole new record. A whole new record that took them up to the top. The first day of recording American Idiot, one of Green Day's tube amps, the amplifiers they used to play the guitars through, caught fire in the studio while they were recording it and setting it back production before anything had been recorded.
That is kind of a scary sign.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's some signs there. Your record gets stolen, yeah, and then your amp catches fire. You think you'd be like, maybe we shouldn't record.
The universe saying, maybe Green Day should take a second after getting their album.
Frankly, at that time, everybody else was thinking the same thing. Like, they're kind of done. It's kind of done for them. But then they come back and they write American Idiot. So what does that teach us a little bit about how you could give up, but if you keep trying, all of a sudden, you write this rock opera.
Oh, yeah. Pull through, persevere. That's what it says on my bat.
Today, you learned Green Day's 90s smash hit Dookie was named as such due to the band members having the shits from eating takeout while traveling and touring. They were originally going to name the album Liquid Dookie, but they deemed that name too gross.
I agree with that.
And,
Dad,
yeah?
When you said...
No, Liquid Dookie?
That was disgusting.
And, girls, get ready for this. You're going to put the headphones up next to your ears here as well. Today, you learned that Green Day's Billy Joe Armstrong recorded a solo song called Look for Love when he was 5 years old, which was released as a literal single, an album single, back in 1977. Do you guys want to hear what that sounds like?
Yes.
Of course.
All right, here we go. This is Billy Joe Armstrong, Look for Love.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Look for love. Look for love. Look for love. When everything seems to go wrong and you need somebody strong with a smile and a song. Look for love. Look for love.
What do you think, girls? 1977, five-year-old Billy Joe Armstrong, before Green Day ever was named, he puts this song out as a single.
That is so cute, little voice.
Right?
Oh, it's a catchy song.
It's not bad. For five-year-old? How often do you hear a five-year-old singing these days?
That's impressive.
Right? All right. That, girls, is a Green Day Today You Learned.
Today you learn. Today you learn.
All right. In the early 2000s, Green Day seemed like they were slowly dying. It got so bad that in 2002, they actually opened for Blink 182 on a long summer tour. But in 2004, they shocked everyone with a politically charged rock opera called American Idiot. It sold millions upon millions and introduced them to a whole new generation of kids who were barely out of diapers when Dookie came out. And technically, in 2004, how old were you, Lucky? Oh, you weren't even born for 10 years, right? But is this your favorite song from Green Day?
Yes.
It is. Now, I know you've talked to your teacher about both Green Day and about this very podcast.
Yes.
And do you want to say hi to your teacher?
Shout out?
Give a shout out to Miss Karagosian. She likes this song too?
I think she does.
Okay. Well, you told me before she liked Basket Case. That we know has already made it in for the one of the final four, right? So that's on there. But this one, are you dedicating this one to Miss Karagosian?
Maybe.
Kind of. In a, hey, I hope you like this Green Day podcast kind of way, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Billy Joe Armstrong wrote American Idiot after feeling incredibly dismayed over the pathetic state of America in 2003. He said, we were in the studio watching the journalists embedded with the troops, and it was the worst version of reality TV. He said, you'd switch the channel, and there's Nick and Jessica. You guys have no idea who that was, right? Jessica Simpson, no. Nick Lachey was a reality Do you guys ever see any reality television kind of? No. Baking shows, really. Kardashians, all right. Then you would switch from Nick and Jessica, you switch over to Fear Factor. Do you know what that was?
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Okay.
I know.
How about you switch, and then there were people having surgery to look like Brad Pitt. This is where Billy just says, we were surrounded by all of that bullshit. The song channels all of those feelings into a perfect 3-minute single that set the stage for their glorious comeback. So Lucky, number 3 on the Mount Rockmore of Green Day goes to...
Miss Karagosian.
And the song is...
American Idiot.
On the Green Day, Mount Rockmore. Charlie Bauer, your thoughts on American Idiot. By the way, I still have the video on my phone of him trying to get the crowd. It was a song that they opened with at the show we went to.
Yes.
And the crowd went crazy as soon as it started playing. And then in the middle of it, middle of the song, he does his, you know, getting everybody, cheering along kind of thing. And he said, I want you guys to make some fucking noise. What did you think of Green Day's performance of that? And what does American Idiot mean to you?
I think American Idiot is such an influential song, especially with the times that we're going through right now and everything within the past, even like 4 years with all of the shit going on in America.
Yeah.
This is like an anthem that's been on for 20 years now.
I am so proud that my little girl just said shit on the podcast. Makes me feel like a real father.
Dad!
I know. Well, look, back at the time, Lucky, when this came out, it was going to be like an introspective album for Green Day. Were they going to be a little bit more sedate? Were they moving away from the pop punk? Any more commercial? No. Big answer to this was no. And when I was doing radio in San Bernardino, California, when this album came out, this very first single, I remember hearing it in the program director's office and going, oh my God, I love that song. I got to play it tomorrow morning. And they said, okay, you can play it. So I got it in the studio. We're getting ready to play. I'm making news. 8 o'clock this morning, we're going to have a great new debut. You can't wait to hear it. 8 o'clock. And then from 8 to 10 a.m., I just played that song back to 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 back. And it was supposed to be this whole bit where my morning show partners would be like, okay, we've heard it already. I'm like, you have? You've heard this song? Well, let's listen again. And I would play it again. And we just keep playing the song over 2 hours straight. We played the Green Day American Idiot song before it broke. And then I got to go see them live kicking off the tour. It was fantastic. It was a fantastic album for them and a way to bounce back. So I saw them at the very beginning when they released this album. It was the album release party in Los Angeles. And then I saw them at the end of that tour a couple of years later in New York at Giant Stadium watching the big concert go on there with Green Day. It was absolutely fantastic. But, girls, even punk legends like Green Day have songs that they don't quite make the Mount Rockmore cut. And so we're going to honor them in memoriam here today with songs, you could call it a ballad, in the scorched remains, if you look to your left, of the Wake Me Up When September Ends. And if you're feeling confused by, did Green Day sell out? Quickly, turn your ear holes away from Still Breathing, the song that Lucky danced to like crazy in our living room in Connecticut.
I seriously did that!
Oh, you did that. And I don't know if the band actually saw it, but I do know that a bunch of Green Day fans did see it because they retweeted it as well. So I'll tell you what. As a kindness to you, Luck, when I tweet out that's the brand new podcast coming out with us on it, I will also include the video of you dancing. Perhaps your teacher, Miss Karagosian, will be able to see it
as
well.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. All right, back to the mountainside. Now, it may be a redundant riff, but it makes its way into the carving of Green Day's Mount Rushmore of songs. It's Charlie's Choice for our fourth and final song that's coming up next on Mount Rockmore.
I can't wait to hear it.
This is a clearly not metrosexual moment in history.
Upside down Van Gogh. In Ontario, Canada, a teenage boy was snowmobiling at night in negative 20 degrees when he saw the perfect spot to spray paint on the side of a bridge. Young Van Gogh grabbed his paint, tied a rope around his waist, and rappelled off the side of the bridge. Hell yeah. You know what else is manly? Not thinking shit through. A thing called gravity flipped Van Gogh upside down. But did he yell for help like a pansy? No, he tried to wiggle out of the rope by taking off his clothes, but it didn't work, and he was left hanging there like a bad gay magician at an inappropriate children's birthday party. Finally, some good Samaritans stopped him and called the cops and the local newspaper. Van Gogh was soon an upside-down naked celebrity, one that had parts of his body turning blue, parts that shouldn't turn blue. The real Van Gogh may have been dumb enough to chop his ear off, but he never thought of hanging naked from a bridge in negative 20. Screw extreme sports. For a real thrill, try extreme stupidity. This has been Lee Camp. For more funny crap, check out leecamp.net.
Breaking down the best four songs. This is Mount Rushmore.
I want to thank God. I want to thank the Lord God. Because it's not really up to me, it's up to Him. Everybody likes to feel useful. Make the world go round.
Welcome back to Mount Rockmore. It's been over 3 decades since Green Day released their debut album, 39 Smooth, as well as 1,000 Hours, and began a journey that would change the face of punk forever. Dropping a further 12 records since, they might not have been the genre's most prolific players, but their ability to change the conversation and propel them forward in their own narrative with each new record is highly unrivaled. Nobody else has done it. A roller coaster ride of towering peaks and even higher ones, trying to boil that journey down to just four songs? Four. That seems utterly futile. For every pick that's made our list, there are at least, what, two or three others, Charlie, lucky, that you can think of that demand attention that we aren't even going to be able to get to. So, hell, there's several albums here that we've not touched on, and not one of them belongs on a scrap heap. So, rather than cracking up, it's best to appreciate these problems as symptomatic of just how brilliant Green Day is, and that we have found ourselves at the final spot here on Mount Rockmore. So, sometimes simple is best. This statement doesn't ring truer than the song that Charlie loves and is picking for the number one song to go on the Mount Rockmore here. Repetitive guitar riffs, but as you, and I, again, if I'm feeling like I did a good job as a dad, and I pointed this out to you and you've seen it play out in action, is that these two songs have to be played together.
Oh, yeah, you'll never, when I DJ the music in the car, I hook my phone up to the Bluetooth, I will never play these two songs separately. You'll never hear them separately.
And yet, they did when we saw them perform live.
Yeah,
I've been just singing the praises of how you've got to have these two combined together. They belong together. It sounds like, it's like the old Queen songs, that we are the champions, we will rock you.
Yeah.
You have to play those together, right? This is the same way, but then they didn't do it in concert.
No, they didn't. I think I've heard one radio station play it once.
And doesn't it feel empty?
It
doesn't feel, if they play it without it, it feels empty. Like, if you just hear Brain Stew, you're like, oh, I mean, that's cool.
Yeah, it's a good song.
Whatever, but you're missing a whole part of it here.
Yeah, could be better.
So, by demand from Charlie Joy, we get both in the way it should be done. And don't ever think it shouldn't. And alternative stations out there, you're listening, this is your job. Play the two songs back to back here. The fourth and final song on the Mount Rockmore of Green Day goes to Brain Stew and Jaded.
I'm having trouble trying to sleep. I'm counting sheep but running out. As time ticks by, still I try. No rest for crosstabs in my mind. On my own, here we go. My eyes feel like they're gonna bleed. Right up and bulging out my skull. Mouth is dry, my face is numb, fucked up and spun out in my room. On my own, here we go. Mind is set on an overdrive. Clock is laughing in my face. Crooked spine. My senses dulled. That's the point of delirium. On my own, here we go. Right up and bulging out my skull.
that is such a good song. And of course, you can't mention Brain Stew without us bouncing off the wall younger brother Jaded. That's what they listed as here. It's one of Green Day's most high-energy tracks. And you're in for a real treat if you get to hear it at a live show, because Charlie and I didn't. We only heard half of it. They didn't even get to the other. Didn't they do the same thing with Boulevard of Broken Dreams and Holiday Tour?
They were like, one was at the beginning of the show and the other one was at the end.
It's been great to have it all together, but it was still a fantastic show, Lucky.
Absolutely.
And Lucky, if you get a chance to go see Green Day, maybe they'll play those two back-to-back the way they're supposed to be playing, right?
You would definitely be happy if you went with me there, wouldn't you, Dad?
Done and done. All right, so to all you SMFers out there, if you hate my picks, you think you could do better, please tweet us about Rockmore and let me know. I may need to get you to help me co-host and then stage dive into an upcoming Rockmore here. And if you knew that a boy who woke up from a coma after his mom put in a CD of Green Day's album American Idiot, he woke up less than an hour later. He'd been in a coma. She popped on American Idiot, and he came out of the coma an hour later. Well, first, go ahead and add American Idiot to your first aid kits all over your house. And then, doctor's orders now, subscribe to our Mount Rockmore podcast. Charlie, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
As a big Green Day fan. Lucky Rose, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast here.
Thank you for having me.
And you guys, I'm glad I brought you up right when it comes to Green Day. And that you will teach your kids Brain Stew and Jaded get played back to back.
Absolutely.
Period.
They will be raised no other way.
That's it for us. We'll be here for your 40th high school reunion road trip. I'm Bauer. See ya.